Okay, today's daf is Becharos Daf Chaf Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Rav Chanuch Teller in memory of his mother Yetta Fega Bas Yehuda Leib Aleha Shalom, whose yahrzeit is today, as well as for Refuah Shleima for Tinok Ben Moria Tamima. We thank Rabbi Teller very much for the sponsorship. Bez Hashem, the neshama should have an aliyah, and the baby Bez Hashem should have a Refuah Shleima. Today's shir is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him as well very much for the sponsorship. We are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph on Beis. The Mishnah is going to discuss how the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is that even a charadas dam can exempt an animal from bechora. That even if some clump of blood comes out of an animal, the next chararas dam, the next baby that's going to be born is going to be potter from Bechara. And the Gemara is going to then discuss what the status of that Chararas Dam itself is in terms of Tuma and in terms of Kvura. And then we're going to talk about at what point an Ubar is Metame a house, a deceased Ubar that's inside the mother, at what point its Tuma spreads to the entire house that it's in. Obviously, when it's still completely in utero, so then it's Tuma Balua, it's not Metame anything. So how big does it have to be? And at what point during the birthing process, so to speak, does it have the ability to be metame the house? The Gemara in that context is going to bring up a shear of a size of how big it has to be called a pika, and the Gemara is going to tell us that there are three types of tumma that are totally in a shear of a pika, but a pika doesn't always mean the same thing. There are three different types of pikas that we're going to identify. And then the Gemara is going to talk about how one can be metaher tzir that he purchased from Nam Aretz. Tzir is fish brine that's purchased from Nam Aretz, where maybe there's a chashash of tumma on that fish brine. So is there any way to be mitaher? Then the Gemara, in that context, we're going to learn that Rabbi Yirmiya teaches that tumma that is batel can be chozer v'neir, that even after tumma is batel, if it comes in contact with more of a like kind, the tumma can return, even though we thought that it's batel already. And we're going to challenge that through Amud Beis and on to tomorrow's daf be'ezras Hashem. It's a very short Amud Beis. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So the Mishnah previously on Daf Yutas Amud Beis quoted the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that Tinuf and Shilya will pater from Bechara, that if that once there is a Tinuf or a Shilya that comes out of the mother, the next baby that comes out of the mother after that is not going to be a Bechar. So the Mishnah is now going to quote the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that a Chararas Dam also will pater from Bechara. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Behema Gasa Sheshofa Chararas Dam. If you have Behema Gasa that has not yet given birth, but a clump of blood comes out of it, and it's a simin that there was a vlad in the rechem of this behema that somehow has gotten disintegrated with blood, and now it became this charara. That's the assumption. So it's like this round, the charara normally refers to a type of food, like a cake or something. But the point is that over here, that this clump of blood is in this roundish shape, like a cake would be. So the halacha is harezuti kaver. Then you have to bury that charara, even though it doesn't have any kedusha, in order to be mefarsim that the behema was mapil, and everyone will now know in the future that it's Patur Mina Bechora. So it's not that it itself is Kadosh, it's just you want to be able to publicize that people should realize that this has now exempted it from future halachas of Bechora, and therefore Patur Mina Bechora. If afterwards it gives birth, this behema gives birth to a viable baby, so then it's going to be Patur from Bechora. Because the Nefel is Patur's Haba Achrav Mina Bechora. We'll see whether anyone disagrees with Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, but the Mishnah only quotes the Shita of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. The Gemara is going to explain, like we said, that the idea of burying it is not because of it; it's because of being mefarsim the future offspring of this animal. Rashi says that the reason that we bury it is because it's aser b'hanah misafik. Maybe it's a vlad that was nimuach b'charara, that was a zachar, and therefore was neskadish b'kedushas b'chora when it came out of the rechem of the behema. Meaning, if this was a male, then it was a male firstborn. And if it's a male firstborn, then it has Kedushas Bechorah. So that's how Rashi says. So that's why we bury it, not just to be Mefarsim Adavar, but because it itself might have Kedusha. So they ask on Rashi that Lechorah, there's no reason to be Choshesh for that, because generally we follow Rov, and Rov HaYoldos are Yoled something that's not Kadosh B'Bechorah, because half of all births are females, and then you have a miut that are a nidme, or like a rachel sheyoldim in eiz, or something like that, which does not have kedushas bechar. So in the Yad Binyamin, he explains that Rashi is explaining lefi svaras hamaksha in the Gemara. The svar of the maksha of the Gemara was that we would that the Mishnayos follow the sheet of Rameir that were Cheshin L'miuta. But in Chinami, if we're not Cheshin L'miuta, and we do follow Rov, then then you don't need to come on to Rashi that you bury it because of that you bury it because of Kedusha, because there would be no Kedusha. We would follow Rov, and Rov of the offspring of the potential offspring this could have been would not be Kedusha. The Gemara is going to say later on that the Kavura of the Charara is so that that you should know that the behema that the behema is part from Bechora. Why is this any so the question is raised, why is this the din of Mapelas Charara that requires Kvura any different than Mapelas Shulya, where they never made such a takana? Meaning this is L'chora just an extension of the halach of Mapelas Shulya, where Pater is the next one from Bechora. So if the whole reason that we bury this is to be Mefar saying that the next offspring is going to be Pater from Bechora, why don't we have such a similar idea by Mapelas Shulya? They were never Misaki to do Kvura, they're Mashlucha Sol Klavim, you just throw it to the dogs. That's what it says in Maseches Chulin. So that's what the Rishonim suggests, and he tells us in Maseches Nida that Mapelas Shulya, you don't need to be Mefarsim that it's Pater Min HaBechora, because everyone knows that it's Pater Min HaBechora. The point is, by the Charara, no one's going to realize that that has a status of a Vlad on the level of in the sense that the next animal is going to be Pater from Bechora. So that's why it requires Pirsum. So we need to be Mefarsim HaDavar. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses the dinim of Tuma of this Charara. So Tani Rabbi Chia, this charara, even though it's a nefel, is metame b'mago masa, just like a nevela, the charara does not have that ability to be metame like a nefel would. A nevela is one of the avos hatoma, and any kezayis of a bas of a nevela is metame both b'maga and b'masa. Tumas masa is chomer from tumas maga, because someone who touches a nevela is only metame him. But when you carry a nevela, not only is it metame you, it's metame begadim shalav. It's metame the clothing that you wear. All of that is explicit in the Torah itself. Someone who carries a nevela is yichabis begadav and is tame ad ha'erev. So nefel is included in nevela, but not a charara. So it's eina metame lo b'maga v'lo b'maga. Masa doesn't have the status of a nevela. So the Gemara says, okay, so then the obvious question, if it's not going to be metam magav masa, so why the need for kvura? So now the Gemara explains, like we just said, the whole point of the kvura over here is not because technically there's an actual requirement of kvura, it's just to be mefarsim that it's pater mina b'chora, and the kvura is mochiach that there was a vlad there, and therefore we know to pater it from Bechora. The Tosos explains that the svara of the Maksha was that if the Vlad was batel berov, there's no svara that it should require kvura. So you have to say that the Matariat is cholik on the svara of the Maksha, and he holds that even though the Vlad is mispatel, but they were misaking kvura in order to be mefarsim that the mother is pater from Bechora. So says Gemara, lemeimra de Vlad ma'al Yehu, amai ein matami lo magav lo masa. Well, wait a second. You're trying to tell me that this charara is a vlad ma'alya, and if that's the case, then why isn't it metame b'mago u'b'masa? Just like a nevela is metame b'mago u'b'masa. Some Rabbi Yochanan mishum bitul barov naguba. Meaning the charara is from a Vlad that was Nimoach, from a Vlad that disintegrated on the inside, and that which we say it's not Metame is because when it is Nimoach, it becomes Batel Berov Hadam, with all the rest of the majority of what it gets mixed in with, the other blood that it gets mixed in with, that comes out together with it from the Rechem Ha'em. So it's already Batel inside the Rechem. So the question then becomes, yeah, but Miman of Shuk, I mean, the whole point is, if it's, there are two halachas over here. There's the halacha of Tumah, and there's the halacha of, is this a Leida to exempt the next one from Bechorah? Bechorah, those two things should be connected to each other. Meaning, if it's a Vlad, then it's Metameh, and if it's Metameh, then it's a real Leida, and the next one's Pata from Bechorah. If it's not a Vlad, then it should not be Metameh, it's already Batel, it's not Metameh, but then it's not a Leida either, and Bechorah should not be Metameh, it should not exempt the next one from Bechorah. So this is a kasha that the Rishonim already raised, that if you're going to say that it's already batel berov on the inside, so then the yitzia min arechem shouldn't be considered a leida. It should just be that something that was inside, that's not a vlad, just came out of the mother. So that's not a leida. How could that pater from the next one from Bechorah? So there is a drasha Maseches Nida and Daf Chaf Zayin based from pasuk Isha Kisazria V'yolda Zachar, that any Leida's Vlad Machui is considered a Leida, that even if a Vlad is totally disintegrated, it's considered a Leida. So maybe we learn from Adam LeBehema that the same is true by Behema, that even by a Leida's Machui it's considered to be a Leida, and it's going to pater the mother from Bechorah. So maybe there's this separate, that maybe the two are not totally zebezeh, that Tumah is dependent on it still being a Vlad. But a Vlad Machoy, there's a special Xeris HaKasuv, that's still considered to be a Leida, in the sense that this is the animal's first Leida, and the next Leida is going to be exempt from Bechor. So anyway, so that's Rabbi Yochanan says, that it's Batel Berov. Says Gemara, Vaz Rabbi Yochanan Tamei. And this is Rabbi Yochanan Lashita So. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Amru, Dover Echad. That both Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon hold that a Vlad that's Nimoach inside the Rechem is Batel Berov of everything that comes out with it. Where do we see that they say the same thing? Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov had the Amaran. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov is what we said to be Miyashiv Rabbi Chia, that the reason the Charor is not Metame is because the Vlad is Nimoach and it becomes Batel inside. And Rabbi Chia was saying Lefi Shitas Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Shimon Maihi, where do we find that Rabbi Shimon holds similarly? Titznan, there is a Mishnah Meseches Nidan Daf Chavav that has Shilya Babayis Habayis Tame, that the sack, the embryonic sack is where the uber is inside of that sack, that a woman is mapil, and if that is in the house and there's no vlad that's nicker in the shilya, the bias is tame, meaning the bias becomes an oel ames that's metame kol masha betochel. Why lo shashilya vlad? Not because the shilya is a vlad, el shein shilya below vlad. But anytime there is a shilya, you know that there is a vlad in that rechem. If you don't find that vlad right now, it's because it was Nimoach inside that Shilya. But there is absolutely a Vlad there. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Vlad Nimoch at Shilya Yatza. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the Vlad disintegrated before the Shilya came out of the Rechem of the Behema, and therefore it's Batel Berov Hadam that's together with it, and therefore the house is not going to be Tameh. So here you see that Rabbi Shimon also holds of this idea that it can become Batel before it comes out, and therefore it's going to save the house from Tumah. Now, L'chora, the kasha is raised. Why is it? Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that the Tanakama also, who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, also holds the same shita? Because the Gemara Maseches Nida says that everyone holds that if they take out the shulia to another bias, that bias is not tame, because by moving it from one bias to another, then for sure the vlad is already nimuach before it gets to the second bias. So, meaning even the Tanakama holds that the vlad is, that nimoach is batel berov. It's just a question of at what point we consider it to be nimoach. So instead of just saying that Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Rabbi Shimon Amar Davar Echad, they could have said much better. Tosfos raises the question. Could have said much better that Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov says the same thing as both Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, the Tzcholik on Rabbi Shimon. Because even the Tanakama holds that there is a din of bittel over here. It's just a matter of at what point there's nimoach and bittel. So Tosfos says,
says that when Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon are following the same shita, it means that they both hold that the vlad is misbatel right away at the tchilas haleida. Whereas the Tanakama would disagree with that. Tanakama would say, yeah, it is misbatel, it is nimoach, and it is not going to be metame once it goes to a bayis sheni, but in the bayis rishon it is absolutely metame. So it's not the tchilas haleida that it's already nimoach, and that's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so the Gemara now brings a Mishnah that discusses how large the Ubar Ames has to be in order to be metame a house when the rechem opens up, at the psichas harechem. Because halacha is a woman whose fetus dies while still inside, a woman who has a miscarriage and she begins to give birth and the rechem opens up while she's in one, while she's in the house, but even if she doesn't actually give birth there, nothing comes out over there, and then they bring her to another room, they bring her to a different place, and that's where the fetus comes out. The first house is tamei as if it already had come out in that house. Why? Because the tumah is boka'as viola, the tumah goes through whatever is blocking it, whatever is covering it. But that's only if the fetus was of a certain size, the ubar was of a certain size. If it hadn't reached that size, then it's not metame until it goes out chutz l'pruzdor, until it goes out outside of the birthing canal. So that's the halacha. So tana nasim. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Alos, in the seventh parak of Alos, ein lanefalim psichas hakever ad sheyagilu rosh kapika, that in a nefel is not metame abayis from the time of the psichas hakever, from the time of the womb opening, unless the head is the size of a pika. So says Gemara, my kapika, what exactly does that mean? What is a pika? Amravuna kapika shel tzemer, it's like a pika of wool, that apparently it's like a bundle of wool, a ball of wool that they would use when they were spinning thread. They would have the ball of wool that they have of yarn that they were spinning from. So that's the, I guess they came in the standard size. So whatever the standard size of the ball of wool was, that's how large the baby's head has to be in order for it to be metame. As soon as there's a psichas harechem, as soon as there's a psichas hakever, as soon as the womb opens up. So I'm lebchir bar Rav leRavuna, Rabbi Parish, Rabbeinu explained to us, what do you mean? Shall shsi or shall erev? There are two types of balls of wool. There are the strands of shsi, which is run along the length of the beged when you're weaving, and which are a narrower string and therefore a smaller ball. And there's the strand of erev, which is which are thicker strings. So erev, Huna said to Chia Barav that it depends on the machlokas tanaim, that Tanya, we have a brisa that pika shall shsi divrei meir Rabbi Yehuda Omer shaleirev, that it's machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the brisa continues. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik Omer mishayiru tfifios, that they disagree with the Tanakama, that even if the head of the nefil is not as big as a pika shel tzemer, nevertheless it's metame the bais as soon as the rechem opens up and in the shear that you're able to see tfifios inside the rechem. So it's not about the size of the baby. It's the psichas rechem has to be enough of a psicha that you can see tfifios inside the rechem. Says Gemara, my tfifios, what does that mean? What are tfifios that you're seeing inside the rechem? They would explain the word tfifios in Yerushalayim like as a nutrikun of pika mitoch pika, meaning kiprida shekaras, kiprida shekaras lahatil meimeha, and it's like a preda that bends down to urinate, and in that way, when it bends its body, its rechem broadens and opens up, and you could see the folds inside the rechem. Veniris pika mitoch pika, and you could see the roundness of the base of rechem through the roundness of the hole of the animal that is opened up by its crouching. So that's the level of psichas harechem that's necessary in order for tumah to come outside of that rechem and be metame the house that it's in. But the first shita was that it has to be the size of a pika, and it was machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda what the size of the pika is. So this question was posed by posed by Rav Huna to Reb, how did it go? Reb Chia Bar Rav said to Rav Huna, Rebbe Parish. right? Rabbeinu explained to us. So Rav Huna was the Rebbe, apparently, of Rav Chia Bar Rav. That's what it sounds like, because he called him Rebbe. In the Yalkut HaMe'iri, he writes that it's not true. Rav Huna was not the Rebbe of Rav Chia Bar Rav. They were Chaverim. They both were Talmidim of Shmuel. And nevertheless, Rav Huna called him Rebbe because since he was Rosh Yeshiva, he called him Rebbe as a title, not as a personal relationship of Rebbe. Like you find in Maseches Gittin and Daf Nadal and Beis, that Rav Ami says to Rav Asi, Rebbe, Ata Omer Kach, even though they were Chaverim, Rav Ami and Rasi were contemporaries, and they were Shava B'Chachma, nevertheless he calls him Rebbe because that was his position. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Tveria after Rabbi Yochanan, so he calls him Rebbe. The Rashbates in Magen Avos writes that there are two different titles. There's Rabbi and there's Rebbe. Rebbe with a, now we don't have the Kudos in the Gemara, but Rebbe with a Chiruk. That the Yud is not about the Kinoi, it's about a Yachas. The Yud in the word Achzari. Achzar is the Sharesh. Whereas if it was Rabbi, the Resh would be with a Patach, it would be Harav Shali, and then the Yud would be a Kinoi. And that would be. That was Pagam and Ismaila. So that's how they would be Matar, anyone who had Smicha from Ishmi Piyish on Moshe Rabbeinu, because when they would give him Smicha, they would call him Rabbi, and the Chachmei Bavel didn't have that title. They would only be called Rav. So depending on the context, sometimes it means my Rebbe, and sometimes it just means a person of authority, but not my personal Rebbe. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. So says the Gemara. Now we're going to explain other halachos that relate to the shear of a pika. So Amar Rav Huna Shamati Shtei Pikos Achas Shel Si V'Achas Shel Erev. That I heard. I have a tradition from my Rebbeim that there are two halachos that depend on the shear pika. One of them is like a pika katana of Si, the smaller pika, and the other one is the larger pika of the Erev strings. Ve'Einli the Farish, and I don't know which halachos relate to which size pika. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Pika Shamati. I heard that there are three halachos that are talui in the Shir Pika. Acha Shal Si, V'Acha Shal Erev, V'Acha Shal Pika Gedolah Shal Sakain. And another one is a larger Pika that's for making Sakin, V'Einli the Farish. And I don't know which one is which. I don't know what three halachos relate to these three size Pikas. So Kiyasa Ravin Pirsha Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained in the name of Rabbi Yochanan what the three halachos in question relate to. So he explained, Shal Isha Kishal Shsi, the sheer pika of Shsi, that it says by an Isha whose Ubar died inside of her Rechem, that the Nefel is Metame Abayis, when the Psicha Sakever happens, if the Rosh of the Nefel is as large as a pika of Shsi. Shal Behema Kishal Erev, the sheer pika of Erev is said with regard to a behema whose ubar is mace betoch me'eha, and you already have a psichas hakever, and the shepherd of the sticks his hand inside and touches the ubar. If the rosh of the ubar is as large as a pika shel erev, then the roa is tame bimaga when he sticks his hand in, when he's helping to birth the animal, and he touches, because it's like he touched a nevela, because it's as if it's already nolad when there's a psichas harechem. But if the rosh is not that big, if the head is not as big as a pika shel erev, then it's not metame mishas psichas hakever, because it would still be considered to be a tuma balua if the head were not large enough. So pika gedola shel sakain, and where we have that third shear pika, a larger pika of sakain, kintetanya, that shear was said in the context of the following brisa. Gush habami beis apras. If you have a clump of earth that comes from a beis apras is a field that has a suffix tumas mace in the entire field. You have two different types of beis apras, either a sada she nevad ba kever or a sada she nechrash ba kever. Either there was a kever in that field somewhere, you forgot where in the field it is, so midrabanan, the entire field is considered to have tuma of a mace, or you knew where it was, but that field has been plowed, and therefore the parts of the body are all over the field because it was plowed up, and there could be little pieces of bone everywhere. So In either case, the halacha is that the entire field, the entire Beis HaPras, is going to be tamei. So if you have a gush, a piece of land, a piece of earth that comes from a Beis HaPras, ume eretz ha'amim, or a gush of afar that comes from chutz la'aretz, from outside of Eretz Yisrael, I guess there's our daf yomi coincidence for Yom Ha'atzmut, that all of chutz la'aretz is called eretz ha'amim, and there's tumah in chutz la'aretz, so all the eretz, anything that any land of chutz la'aretz, you always have to have a suffix that maybe there was a kever there. Tumas eretz ha'amim, the Gemara Masech Shabbos in the first parak tells us is a gezer midrabanan that there's a tumas eretz ha'amim. The Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayis that the reason for the gezeru is because the goyim were mezalzlim b'meseihem and they were cover them wherever. They weren't always makbid to bury their dead in cemeteries, so they buried their dead wherever. And therefore, there were gozer tumah throughout all of Eretz Ha'amim. So shiuro, the shear of the piece of the clump of earth that it's necessary in order to be metame ba'ohel, in order to assume that it's tame b'tumas vaday, that you'd be sorif truma and kachim that became tameh as a result of contact or being in the same room as this clump of earth, kipika gedola shel sakatin, is only if that clump of earth is as big as the pika gedola shel sakatin, shehu kechosam hamartzufin, which is as large as the chosamos that they would make on these large sacks that they would when they would close them off, the seals of these large sacks when they would close them. That's the sheer pika. The yeshu mitzada elyon shamaguvus achavis halachmis, and you have a similar size shear by the top of the bags that they would cover barrels with that they would make in Beis Lechem. That on the lower part of these barrels they're wider in order to cover the entire barrel, and on top they would get narrower until it got to the width of just a Beis Yad, of just a handle, in order to be able to easily grab them. So that sad that's miskatzer is called the tzada elyon. So if the gush offer was not as big as the tzada elyon, the narrow top of these barrels, then it would not be large enough to be metame. That's the shear of this pika that's metame. Now the Rashash raises the question: what do we say over here that you have gush from eretz ha'amim, where you have gush from a Beis HaPras? So the shear that it's metame. So the Gemara didn't say explicitly what kind of tumah we're talking about. I would have assumed tumas maga or something like that. Rashi fills in over here, Dibur Maskul Gush, that we're talking about tumas ohel. The shear to be metame with tumas ohel is this pika gedola shel sakoyin. So that's how Rashi says. Ask the Rashash. The Mishnah, the second parak of Alos, tells us that a sada shenechrash ba kever and eretz ha'amim is metame b'maga, it's metame b'masa v'lo ba'ohel. So how could Rashi say that there's a certain amount of dirt that comes from Eretz Ha'amim, or that comes from a Beis HaPras, that's going to be metame? Yeah, the Mishnah Gemara says metame. How could Rashi say metame ba'ohel? It's a fairish Mishnah that these things are not metame ba'ohel. So the Rashash suggests that over here we're not talking about a sada shenechrash ba'kever, we're talking about a sada sheneved ba'kever. That's also called a Beis HaPras, but that is metame ba'ohel. A Beis HaPras should nechrash ba'kever, where you plowed up a kever, so you don't have a rov binyan or minyan of atzamos in any one place. All you have is an etzem kisaora. An etzem kisaora is only going to be metame b'magal mas, is not going to be metame ba'ohel. As far as Eretz Ha'amim, he says, we could be metarit bedochak, that Rashi holds, like Tosus writes in Maseches Nazir, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, in Nazir Daf Nun Dalid, that originally there were never gozer on the avir Eretz Ha'amim, but eventually there were gozer even on the avir of Eretz Ha'amim, which means there goes there also that it should be metame ba'ohel. The Mishnah in Alos that says that there is no tumas ohel be'Eretz Ha'amim was before they ever made that gezera. But the Rimi Orleans disagrees with Rashi and holds that a gush offer abba me'Eretz Ha'amim to Eretz Yisrael is not metame ba'ohel, only when it's odu b'mekomo it's metame ba'ohel, but once it's uprooted b'mekomo it's not metame ba'ohel. So that's the discussion that comes out of this Rashi over here. Why in fact there would be tumas ohel both on the Beis HaPras and on the Eretz Ha'amim that we're discussing over here. Okay, now the Gemara is going to talk about, let's say you purchased seer fish brine from an Amma Aretz. So is there any way to be mitaherit, because you have to be choshesh, the Amma Aretz is not nizar in Tumah. So Amr Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah. Reish Lakish says the name of Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah. As we pointed out in the past, Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah is not Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It is not the author of the Mishnah, who was a Tana and was the son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah is an Amora, and he was the son of Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe, and he was the grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah, and he was the one that he and his Beis Din were gozer on they were matir, the shemen of Akum, right? That's in Sugya and Avodah Zarah, that when they initially were gozer on Chalav Akum and Abishal Akum and Pas Akum, they also were gozer on Shemen Akum, but the Beidina, the Shor Mishcha, came and was matir Shemen Akum. So Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah, that was Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah's Beis Din. So Reish Lakish says the name of Rabbi Yudah Nesiyah. Halokeach Tzir, a person who buys fish brine, may Amma Aretz, from an Amma Aretz. And we have to assume that all Amma Aretz are Tame. So you have to be choshesh that the Amma Aretz touched the Tzir and was Metameh it. But Tzir itself is not Mekabel Tumah, because it's not an Ochel. It's just considered to be Zeya Bialma. However, there is water mixed in with it, and because of that water that's mixed in with it, the water is Mekabel Tumah. So what do you do with it? Mashiko B'mayim, you can connect that Tzir to the main mikveh, Vitar, Mimanav Shach, and then it's going to be Tar regardless. If the mayim is the majority of the tzir, kibin davadu ashaka, tarulei. Once you do ashaka, you are mitayr, that tzir, because mayim, if you take tamei water and you connect it to the water of a mikvah, you've been mitayr, the tamei water. So it's like toveling the water in a mikvah. So that would be fine. And irubat tzir ninu. And if the majority of it is tzir, meaning hashaka is not going to help, so tzir lav bar kabbali tumahu. You don't need ashaka, because tzir can't be makabal tumah anyway, because it's only the zeya that comes out of dagim when you salt the fish. So my ika mishum hanach miyuta demaya. What are you choshesh for tuma? What, the small amount of water that's mixed in with the tzir that's right to be makabal tumah, and ashaka is not going to work because it's batal to the tzir? But don't worry, hanach batal luberuba. It's already batal in the rov tzir. So manavshach, if mayim is the rov, you're matirin in the mikvah. If tzir is the rov, you don't need to be matirin in the mikvah, because the mayim is already batel. Some Rabbi Yirmiyahu lo shanu el litbol ben pito. Yeah, that's a good eitzah, but the hashaka works if what you're planning on doing with the tzir is to dip your bread in the tzir, to eat a pitara, aval a kedera lo. But to mix it in a kedera with other ingredients, it's not going to help to do a shaka. Why not? So here's the great chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiyah, matzah min es mino v'neor. The mayim that's balua in the tzir will connect with the other water that's in the pot that you're putting it in, and together they will now overpower the tzir. They will now be the majority connected the tzir, and they'll be mitstarif to be mevatel the tzir, and now the tuma of that original mayim is going to come back, and it's going to be chozer to the original tuma. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that even a tuma that's already gone, that's already batel, can be chozer v'neir. It can be reignited. It can come back. So yes, Rav Dimi v'kamer l'lashmeita. Rav Dimi was saying this halacha of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav Dimi v'chiv tuma shabatel chozer v'neira. Is that something that can happen? Can tuma that's already batel barov come back and find its strength again and be tameh again? Amar Lei, so Rav Dimi said to Abai, Va'at lo tizbra, do you not hold of such a din? I mean, of course it can. And what's the raya that it can? Va'atnan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Trumos, Sa Truma Tameya, if you have a Sa of Truma Tameya, Shenafla Lameya Chulin Tahorin, that fell into 100 Se'in of Chulin, that's Tahar, and therefore the Truma became Batal in the Chulin, because Truma is all the Bameya. Truma's Batal is Batal Bameya. It's different than Shari Surim. You need Meya when it comes to a Truma. It's a Beferish Mishnah in Maseches Trumos. The Yerushalmi quotes that this is based on a Din Dar Reis, this is based on a Pasuk in the Torah. The Rambam thinks the Drash is only now Smachta. But whatever, there's this requirement of Meya. So Reb Lezer Omer Teirum, Reb Lezer Vitirkav. Reb Lezer says, take out one Sa'a from the Taroves and then leave it aside to rot, like Truma to Meya, which is Asar Ba'achila. Tulsas raises the question. The Yerushalmi says that the reason the Sa'a Shal Truma Torah that falls into 100 shel chulin that you need to take out aside, and you can't just eat the whole thing, is because it is batel. So you would think, okay, if it's batel, so why do I have to take anything out? Just use the whole thing. Now, even though it's batel, you still have to worry about gezel ha-shevet. That kohanim, there is a sa'ah that really belonged to kohanim in here. So now, because of gezel ha-shevet, you have to take out one sa'ah. So the Tosos raises the question, Dibra Maschel Terum, so what benefit is there by taking it out and letting it rot? If the whole point is gezel ha-shevet, that the kohen is going to be robbed from the sa'ah that he was supposed to get. So I understand if you're going to take out one sa'ah and give it to a kohen, so that will solve the problem. But how does it help if you're going to take out one sa'ah and you're just going to let it rot? It's not going to the kohen anyway. How does that solve the gezel ha-shevet problem? So Tosos suggests that the chum just didn't want to be mechalik b'takanasam. They made a takana, they wanted to keep it as a low plug, so they said you're always going to have to take out that sa'ah. Okay, but the point over here is that the Mishnah tells us you have a sa'ah of chulin netzar that falls, a sa'ah of truma tamea rather, that falls into 100 se'in of chulin tahorin. So Blazer says you take out one sa'ah and let it rot. Shani Omer, he saw Shanafla, he saw Shalsa. We have the right to assume that the very sa'ah of Truma that fell in is the sa'ah that you're pulling out, and therefore the sa'ah that you're pulling out is Truma Tamea, which is Asher Bachila, and that's why it has to be left to rat. The Chachamim Omrim Tala. And the Chachamim say the Truma is Batel, Bimea, and therefore you could eat the whole thing together with the Chulin that it's all mixed in together with. Vitei Achel Nikudim. And you could eat it dry. I mean, you have to be careful not to have that taroves mixed with one of the Zayin Mashkim that are makshir ochel to be makabel tuma, in order that the truma should not be mitame the taroves of chulin. Because here you have a saw of truma tamea, and it's mixing with chulin that star. So you don't want to be mitame the chulin. So you have to make sure that chulin remains not huchshar lekabel tuma. It could never become huchshar lekabel tuma. Otherwise, the truma is going to be mitame it. O kleos, or you roast it on the tarovis on a fire without any liquid, and in that way it's not going to be hukshar the kabel tuma. O tilosh bin beperos, or if you want to make a dough out of it, you have to make sure not to use water, to only use meperos, and the halach is meperos are not makshar the kabel tuma. O tischalik leisos, or divide it up into smaller doughs, ubavachle makamech kabeitza, in a way that there isn't a kabeitza of the truma tumea in any one given dough, because in that way, even if the chulin was hukshar lekabel tuma, it can't be mekabel tuma from the truma, because the truma is pachas mikabeitza, and pachas mikabeitza of ochel doesn't have the ability to be metame other ochlim. So if the truma is only 1/100th of the taroves, the entire isa has to be less than 101 beitzim, because if you had that shear, then it would be kabeitza achas of truma that would be metame the chulin. So now Rav Dimi brings the way to eat the chulin according to Rav Lazar, and the reason for this is of Atani Allah, and the Brisa says about this Mishnah, Osa chulin, that chulin, Rav Lazar, matay alein. According to the Rabbanan, we said that the taroves can be eaten in a way that the chulin is not able to be mekabel tuma. But according to Rav Lazar, that you have to take one sa'a out, and you assume that sa'a that came out is the sa'a shenafla. So now we have to clarify, do you need to be makbid on the rest that it shouldn't be mekabel tuma from the truma tumea that's inside of it, or do you say no, truma tumea is already gone, you don't need to be makbid about anything? So the Brisa says that even according to Rabbi Lazar, ye achlu nukudin or klayos or yiloshim meperos, you still have to be makbid about the tuma and tara status of it. You still have to make sure that it's not makabel tuma. O tischalik liisos obavad shloyei kibetsa makom echad va'amr ula matam. Why do you have to be makbid that it's not makabel tuma, and why can't you just treat it like it's completely chulin? I, according to the Rabbanan, the truma tmeya is nisbatel entirely. According to Rabbi Lazar, aside from the bittel, we also say that the saw that you took out is removed from the taroves and is gone. Gzeira shemi yavi kav chulin tameya mimakom acher v'kav va'od mimin zeh v'savar avtalinu beruba kiven diika hay mashu matza minas mino v'neor. So that's our raya Again, why are we quoting this entire thing? We wanted to prove that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was correct. What did Rabbi Yirmiyahu say? That matzah minas mino v'neir, that even once tuma is already batel, it can be reignited when it comes into contact with more of a like kind. So over here also, the gzeira is that you might bring a kav of chulin tame from somewhere else, and the kav va'od of this taroves, and you thought that it was already batel barov, but since you have this taroves with a little bit of truma tameya in it, it's now going to be matzah minas mino. It's going to connect with the kav of chulin tameim, and now the miut is of the tuma is not going to be a miut anymore. It's going to be a mechzal mechza, and the tuma is therefore going to return. So that's the raya to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. So Amalei Abaye says Rav Dimi im tuma oreres tuma tahara oreres tahara, that you can't bring a raya from ula to the din of tzir, because ula the chashash is that chulin tameim is going to come, and through that it's going to be more of the tuma that was batel in the taroves. But by tzir, the mayim of the kedera is tahar. So how do you know that tahar mayim has the ability to reignite old tame water? And therefore he doesn't think that that is a raya at all. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Esvei, which is another, a further discussion of the shita of Rabbi Yirmiyahu.